life given. If that hasn't happened, your connection to Christ is missing. Right? You know, so many times I have people that come to me and they want to learn things about health, they want to learn things about how to heal, they want to learn all these different things. But they don't have that connection. And I can only help them so far. It's kind of like trying to teach a crippled man to walk. You know? And I think tonight, as we go through some things that I kind of wanted to give you, I think you're going to need that connection. I didn't bring my Bible. How many of you noticed that? Because I'm going to give you some things, a little bit what David did this morning. He took some Bible stories and he gave you the truth that was in those Bible stories in a nutshell. Right? I'm going to share just some quick things with you. You know, we talk, how many of you have heard me talk so many times about energy? And we learn how to use it. And we learn how to make that work for healing and for health. I'm going to start back. I'm going to go clear back to the beginning. A friend of mine came to me the other day and he said, I want you to explain the Big Bang theory to me. Anybody stumped? From a biblical standpoint. I said, sure. I said, I can do that. I said, let's just say in the beginning, I said, read in there in Genesis. I said, in the beginning, the world was without form and void. Right? It was utter chaos. It was utter darkness. Because of Satan's mess. Right? And God stepped up and he sent the Holy Spirit to brood over the face of the deep. Didn't he? And then he stepped up and he says, bang! Let there be light. Didn't he? That's what Christ does in us. That's that connection. Without it, we are still in darkness. Jesus said so, didn't he? That was that big bang that transformed this world from that void, dark place of obliteration, if I might put it that way, to a living earth. What a challenge for us. Right? Come on, people. The challenge is there. It is up to us to carry that torch of life everywhere we go. David said something this morning that kind of clicked with me. There's a lot of people that they spend their life as a Christian and nobody has found out that they are a Christian. Right? It's a different thing when you're carrying the torch in a dark world. They know it. They can tell it. A person came to me one day and says, I want to know something. I've gone to a lot of different places. I've gone to a lot of different schools. I've learned about energies and different things like that. But you're different. I said, thank you, Lord. You're different. Let me ask you the question this morning. Has your connection to Christ made you different? Yes, very definitely. What a challenge for us. I'm going to speak to you about some energy things tonight and health. But I want to relay that right straight back to your Christian life. Is that all right, David? You know, many of the things that Christ taught, he actually taught his disciples, if you abide in me and I abide in you, then we can make all this work. Didn't he? But he said, you know, if you kind of get to be that branch that won't take the pruning anymore, then we throw you over the back fence and we light a fire back there. Right? Don't ever fall into the category of those who won't learn anymore. God's always teaching us. It was totally thrilling to me to sit in Ronnie's home yesterday and talk to some farmers about how to use energy to produce better crops. Wasn't it, Ronnie? But you know, the most exciting thing to me of all was the fact that Marty was sitting there. And Ronnie told me beforehand, he says, Dad's planning to come, but I think he'll probably go to sleep. That's what Ronnie told me. Now, Marty, I'm being honest with you. But I was thrilled to see someone of Marty's age sitting there, soaking it up, drinking it in, wanting more, wanting to know. You get it? Don't quit. David used the story of Jonah this morning. And my dad used to always say, as he was preaching different times about Jonah, he would say, the book of Jonah is all about corners. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. But we turned the corner. Isn't it? You look at that. In the first few verses, Jonah turned, I don't know how many corners with that word but. And he just kept going and kept going, trying to get away from God. How many people today are trying to get away from God rather than trying to get to God? A bunch. Because they listened to that voice that Adam and Eve listened to in the garden, that said, oh, you'll be smarter than God if you just take this corner. Our world is full of that. And when we talk about energy for health and that, our world is full of a lot of stuff that's not God connected. And I like to keep it God connected. In my opinion, God is the answer to everything. He knows. You and I may not, but God does. Have you ever gone to the end of a cornfield? Knelt down and asked God to give you wisdom to know what to feed that crop. You see hands. You know, it's a big step when we admit we don't know. That's the first step to true knowledge. Isn't it? When we actually admit, I don't know. You know, most of you would come and I would work on you different ones of you came this afternoon. You have no idea how many times I sat at the end of a table working on somebody's feet on the reflexology points, and I'd say, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. You'll have to enlighten me. I must admit I don't know before God can give me wisdom. God never fills your hands when they're already full of your junk. God doesn't bless you on top of your mess. Right? When your hands get empty, then He'll fill them. When your heart gets empty, then He'll fill it. I gave something to Ronnie and to David, and I stole it. And he made some copies, and you guys might be interested in looking at it. I stole it from the Seventh-day Adventists. Is that right? Sure. David says even a broken clock is right twice a day. But it talks about the mathematical ability of plants. And it's just really interesting reading. One of the things that stood out to me, and I mentioned it yesterday, was talking to the group there that we were talking to. I'm just going to talk about plants for a minute. All of them, during the daytime, give off carbon dioxide, don't they? But at nighttime, they have a complete reversal, and they give off oxygen, don't they? And that's all due to a process called photosynthesis. It's all part of that process. Why would God make plants do a reversal between night and day? That's odd, isn't it? Or is it? He was looking out for us. Did you know down in Brazil? Brazil is the world's largest exporter of roses. How many of you knew that? Anybody that's a florist around here? Those great big roses that you buy in the florist shop, those great big ones, about 99% of those come from Brazil. And do you know why they raise great big roses? Somebody got a bright idea. They said, plants love carbon dioxide, so let's give them carbon dioxide. So they pipe the carbon dioxide off of their ethanol plants into greenhouses that grow roses. You know, here in America, we just blow it off. That's waste stuff. They'll be after us, won't they? But at nighttime, when that plant is giving off the oxygen, what is it doing for us? It's creating food for us for tomorrow. Isn't it? I asked the question in the meeting yesterday. I said, what percent of the air around you is nitrogen? And what percent is oxygen? What percent is carbon dioxide? I just asked about oxygen, didn't I, Marty? And the fellows are sitting there and they're scratching their head. And Now what? What percentage is it? Exactly. 19 to 20%. Varies a little bit according to elevation. So the rest of that is all something that is being used by plants, primarily nitrogen, carbon dioxide, and they're actually providing oxygen for us tomorrow because they're giving that off tonight. God has a perfect balance in everything He does. You know, when Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, everybody wants to blame Eve, but I want to tell you the truth, it was Adam's fault. Everybody wants to pass the buck and say, it's the woman's fault. It wasn't. Yeah, she tempted him, but he still had to say yes. Boy, humanity's been passing the buck ever since, haven't they? It started a trend. There's no end. And it doesn't matter whether it has to do with health. It doesn't matter whether it has to do with wealth. It doesn't matter. Mankind today is in the business of passing the buck rather than standing on their own two feet and saying, it's my fault. I'm to blame. Kind of hard to admit sometimes, isn't it? I'm going to share something about energy for just a minute. What do you think happened inside of Adam when Adam took that bite of that fruit? Now, was it the fruit's fault? No. Because, just like David said this morning, that was a tree of testing, wasn't it? We all have our own little tree of testing, by the way. What do you think happened inside of Adam? Energy-wise. Disconnect. And when you disconnect something, let's just say you unplug the vacuum when it's running, what happens? It dies, doesn't it? And the positive force that was running before now turns to dead weight, negative force right there, doesn't it? And humanity has been running on a negative energy field ever since. I'm going to explain that here in a minute. A negative energy force. And the more people buy into Satan's lie, the more negative they become. If you don't believe that, just look at Washington, D.C. Right. I have a truck driver friend. He says you get within 100 miles of Washington, D.C. and you can feel the negative influence. And he's not a great Christian man. If he can feel it, you and I sure ought to feel it. Wrong has a negative feel, a negative energy. And that's what happened with Adam when he sinned. I had an old doctor friend. Bless his heart, he's dead and gone now. He and I were talking one day about energies, how it works, and everything. And I can share with you. This old gentleman looked at me and he says, Morris, most people won't accept it. But he says, you're smart enough to receive it, he said. And I'm thinking to myself, where's this going? And he looked at me and he says, when God comes down and touches a man's soul and he's saved, he said, to us that seems like the impossible thing, doesn't it? Well, he says, all God does is he just turns a man, the polarities, around, sets it back straight. And for a little bit I thought, is Dr. LaFave right? You know, I want to make sure that's right. And then my mind went to the scripture that said, he takes us from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to the power of God. He changes us 180 degrees. And poor old Nicodemus sat there and scratched his head and he says, what do you mean? I have to be born again. Jesus says, well, I thought you were smart. Didn't he? I thought you had a degree in theology. Are you a master in Israel and you haven't even got to first base? Disconnect, wasn't it? That disconnect. One of the things that I think is tremendously important for our health is I don't think a person can really be, I'm going to say truly healthy. I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but I'm going to say it that way. Until their heart's healthy. You understand what I mean by that? Because I don't think we're really right until we're right on the inside. I don't care how pretty an apple is on the outside. If you cut into it and it's still rotten, that don't prove nothing, does it? Jesus talked about that, didn't he? He said, you know, fruit, yeah. But sometimes it's not as great inside as it is outside. I loved it when he looked at the Pharisees and he said, you're just whited sepulchers. Pretty tough medicine, wasn't it? It's interesting to me to notice how many people today want to learn about the energies, but they don't want to give God the glory. And I have a very strong feeling that God looks down and he goes, wrong answer. We had a lady that came and she says, I want to learn to do what you do, but she says, I'm not nearly as effective as you are. I'm an atheist. I'm sorry. You're never going to be as effective as I am because you don't have the connection that I do. Right? Yes, that's right. One of the greatest moments in our life is when we realize that we aren't able, but we depend on God for His ability, and He answers. Does God always answer? Uh-uh. Sometimes He says, just wade through it. But I'm always happy when He does. David said, do you suppose you could talk about sugars or energies and how that relates to health? Do you suppose we can do that? Jesus talked about the sweetness of His grace. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Didn't He? That's going back clear into the Old Testament, isn't it? Oh, taste and see. And then Jesus comes along and he says, come here, I want you to take my yoke upon you because it's restful. What? Jesus' yoke carries you. Do you get that? Because there's energy in the yoke. His grace, His power, His influence, His direction. The disciples never lacked for direction as long as they were walking with Christ. Now, once in a while, they got off target a little bit. And Jesus had to tell them, say, hey, what are you talking about? What are you thinking about? Calling fire down from heaven for these people? They're doing a good work. Well, but they don't go to our church. And your problem is? You get it, don't you? I don't know. The sweetness of God's grace fills us with the energy to move forward, doesn't it? In spiritual things. That same thing applies in the natural realm. Are sugars good in the natural realm? Oh, yeah. Sugar's not always a negative. Anybody eat fruit? That's loaded with sugar. See, the problem is when man gets a hold of it by the devil's help and he twists everything up and he refines it and he's supposed to make it better. And then there's a negative influence involved in it, right? I'll tell you an interesting story of a man that he had diabetes really bad. And his doctor said, you've got to get on insulin. And he says, I'm not doing that. He says, I'm going to France. I'm going to visit my daughter who's over there. And he says, when I get back, we'll talk about it. Well, he got to France, and the cherries were just beginning to ripen. And they tasted good, so he ate cherries, and he ate cherries, and he ate cherries, and he ate cherries. And for a whole month, he ate cherries. Doctor told him he'd be dead if he ate fruit. But he came back to the United States, went to his doctor, and his doctor says, what'd you do? You don't have diabetes anymore. There's a huge difference between God's energy and Satan's refined energy. One of the things that's really interesting to me is how in the food industry today we've gone from sugar to aspartame to Splenda. I mean, the list goes on and on, doesn't it? What's better for you? What God made. High fructose corn syrup. Body doesn't know what to do with it. So guess what he does, what the body does with it? It stores it. Have you ever tried to buy something from the store that didn't have high fructose corn syrup in it? Pretty tough job, isn't it? I call it Satan's lie. That's not a nice way to put it, but it's the truth. But when you look at the sugars that God made, they heal. Oh yeah, you can overdo it. You can go crazy on any one thing and it'll cause a problem. But balancing, the balancing act, it's all part of that, isn't it? Christ told us, he says, be temperate. Paul told us, be temperate, didn't he? What's that mean? Well, eating Thanksgiving dinner every day is not a good thing. It's what he's talking about. Does that kind of make sense to us? One of the things that I find with many, many people who are doing things for health is they get stuck on one certain thing. And I'm just going to say this in as a precaution to all of us. Don't allow your mind to get stuck in one rut. I've said many times in healing people, it nearly always takes at least three different modalities of healing to actually bring about a complete healing. It might be diet. It might be herbs. It might be reflexology. It might be Bowen technique. It might be shiatsu. It might... Who am I to dictate what God's pattern is for you? We talked in the meeting yesterday, and I asked the gentleman, I said, what kind of soil types do you have? And one fellow said, I got everything. I got hard clay, I've got sand, I've got everything in between. Well, let me share with you, a shotgun approach on all of that, just we're all going to do everything the very same, and then you expect results? Just like all of us here, you're each one an individual. Each one of your bodies is going to respond differently. Each one of you is going to have to find what works. I know that's tough. Get down on your knees and ask God to talk to you about it. Didn't he tell us if any of you just kind of seem like you're a little short upstairs? Really? Isn't that what he said? Get down and ask. What did he say? Ask for wisdom, didn't he? Knowledge. So you would know what to do. I'm going to run to the doctor and ask him. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Yeah. I say many times when people come to me, I say, well, the doctors have actually two ways of dealing with things. They throw a pill at it, and if that doesn't knock it out, then we'll throw a knife at it and we'll cut it out. And they don't seem to know much in between. I think that's partly their training. I don't know. I'm not finding fault with them. But I really don't think that's all the answer. I'm going to touch really quickly on one of the facts of Jesus' ministry. He taught his disciples how to heal, did he not? By relying on the Holy Spirit. That was step number one. That connection. That direction. But the second step in that was, he said he laid his hands on them and healed them, didn't he? Now, I don't think that was just a random laying on, putting their hand on their head or their shoulder and saying, there you go, you're all fixed up. I think Christ taught his disciples a specific way to put his hands on people to heal them because of the energy fields that are there. I believe that. Some of you have experienced that, haven't you? That's awesome. And I say many times, that is simply the power of God working through us to bring about healing. What a privilege. What a privilege. You know, I said so many times to just my wife and I said, what a privilege it is to actually have God work through us to accomplish His will. It doesn't get any better than that. Somebody said to me one day, said, well, what if somebody didn't pay you? What if they didn't pay me? God did. I saw the miracle of healing. It's not about money. Money's necessary, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's all about God being able to use us. Put yourself in the place where God can use you. Right? How many would volunteer for that? You know, and it may be out there in the field, God using the knowledge that He's given us to produce a better crop. It may be David preaching. That might be his place, visiting, whatever it might be. And then He may have you and I doing things on the job to further His cause. Is that important? How do you feel about that? If you're not willing to carry the torch, oh, I'm going to put my light, not in the bushel, but in my pocket. How do you expect God to bless you? How do you expect God to show you His love? I don't want to keep you very late tonight, but that kind of help a little bit. I think every one of us really seriously want God to bless us and bless our lives. I believe we really do. That's why we're here, isn't it? I want to just open up that channel for the Holy Spirit to be able to move into our lives in a brand new way. Until if I'd come back here to see you folks again in like 6 months, I'd have people saying, wow, it's amazing. You know, from the last time we were here to this time, I can see a lot of amazing things that have happened. I really can. I shared with some of them today, Janet and the girls coming up there to Pete's to see me up there and spend a week up there. And I said, poor Janet, at the end of the second day, Marty, she looked like a toad in a hailstorm. She couldn't hardly talk when we went home to the house. She had her papers and she's thumbing through her. Now, what did you do? How did you? It was fun for me. It is fun for me. I enjoyed it. But to me, it's a thrill to see somebody taking up that information, doing something with it. I don't care how smart you are, folks. If you don't do something with it, you're stupid. Somebody say amen, because that's truth. Right? My grandma used to always say, it's not how much you have that matters. It's what you do with what you've got that counts. You know, if God gives you just a little bit, use that. Use it. If He gives you a little bit more, use it a little bit more. How do you expect God to bless you with 10 talents if you won't use the one He gave you? Take a step of faith. Poor old Adam back there in the garden, He lost contact with God through two things: doubt and disobedience. Wasn't it? Don't let him get in there. Don't let him get in there. You know, there's times when you just have to literally kick him out the door, as it were. Yeah. Amen. Well, let's stand for a word of prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for your tremendous blessings. And Lord, we ask that you would help each one of us to humbly ask for your guidance. And Lord, we ask that each one of us, with whatever guidance you give us, we would act on that. We ask, Lord, that you would make us each one the blessing that you would have us to be. Go with us from this service tonight. Make us everyone that shining light for you, we pray, in this dark world. Amen.